Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Michael, good to talk to you. I was down in Kilkenny last July. The FAI AGM was on in a hotel in Kilkenny, and I pulled in and I saw Brian Cody walking into the hotel. I said, what are the chances you arrive in Kilkenny and the first man you see is Brian Cody? I wandered into the hotel and you're sitting in a corner alongside Brian Cody, which wouldn't be out of the ordinary. But over the last few months, we've actually started to hear some things about Kilkenny under Brian Cody and quite a few stories of retirement. And one of the things we've learned is that Brian Cody doesn't just generally go for a coffee with his players. It's not that sort of relationship. And I saw the two of you in the corner and said, I could go over and say hello, but no. This could be the moment. This could be a special moment. Michael Fenley, at this stage of his career, this might be the time when you're breaking the news to Brian Cody. Was I onto something?
Unfortunately not, no. Ah. Unfortunately not. That's about end of July, maybe, was it?
End of July.
Yeah, funny enough, the story behind that is I would have texted Brian to have a quick chat. Maybe I spoke to an inter-county footballer in Dublin that week there on a night out, I think, and something he said just kind of hit home to me with what we have in Kilkenny, maybe, I suppose, in the environment and culture and all that we have. And I said that there's still value there in the team, and there's still value, obviously, with Brian there as well. So I text him after a few pints of me, I think, yeah, saying, would you fancy an old coffee or something? And sure, we met Friday, anyway. And again, even I wasn't even sure would I be staying on for 2018, even though I didn't even have a chance to think about it, to be honest, because it was just literally about 3 weeks after the Waterford game. But I knew with Brian at the helm, he's the right person for it. You know, he has the right foundations, right culture there. And there's a lot of players, you know, I'm there 12 years now, and anything he says or he does always still feels new and even unique. Like, so he might have felt maybe that he's saying the same thing over and over, but right. It was never that way for me or any of the players, I think. Like, so that was important to maybe just say, maybe, I think, because obviously we didn't know was he staying on or not. And obviously we have a bunch of new players coming through, which I was aware of. And I think with his presence and his... with him there, just at the helm, I think is the right person for the right job.
Was it almost then saying thanks to Brian Cody that you're probably at a stage in your career where you're a bit more open, you're a bit more honest, a bit more confident, that you don't have that conversation of, you know, you mean a bloody lot to us as players?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I probably was saying, yeah, exactly. You said you mean a lot, like, and what you're doing is still right. And as I said, it doesn't get old. I'm there 12 years. I'm the oldest on the team, and I still feel that what you have, like, you know, I still listen, and your talks and that, and what he says, it still feels new and fresh. So, like, I just felt maybe that he might be thinking that he's there now 20 years, maybe, or 19 years of time, and maybe he's saying the same thing over and over. But it was never the case. You know, he's a very powerful speaker, and he can bring in players, and he brings in that spirit. And, you know, at times, after a speech, you could go through three or four walls for him, like, you know, like, that's the kind of presence he has, and that's important. And and I think I just wanted to maybe say that and make sure that he was aware of that before he made any decisions on his on his future.
What did the Dublin player say to you about?
Basically said, you know, about, I suppose, what we've done, and maybe, you know, they're trying to maybe replicate what we've done, maybe, and the values that we portray, maybe. And he's probably even maybe saying, you know, a few of these lads maybe need to quieten down in the media, maybe. A few of the former players, maybe. So, but he said, like, you know, it's very special what we have, and they looked upon what we had, and they're trying to replicate it, you know. So I was like, God, if one of these best teams in the country are trying to do what we're doing, we're definitely still doing it right.
Yeah.
And we have it. We have the ingredients. We have the foundations, because they're very, very hard to set. It takes years to do that. And so that was important for me, maybe, just to get that message across to Brian. And that just hit home at the time, I think, that I needed to say that, maybe. And again, it wasn't me saying was I retiring or not. I wasn't even sure. I wanted to get a good run at the club in terms of the championship that we had going forward, and get myself in a good position, and hopefully hit the league ground running, I suppose, come January, February with myself.
What was Brian's reaction when you have a conversation like that?
No, it was fine. He probably maybe was a bit standoffish, I'd say, maybe, in terms of what I had to say and that, like. But then, like, yeah, we had a good open chat about things, and maybe what happened the last few months with the Kilkenny team. Obviously, I only played two games, and it was only those 2 weeks, really, in terms of the Limerick game and the Waterford game. But I just felt like, you know, we had a lot of injuries that year, to be honest, earlier on the year. We didn't really get a good chance to get a good, you know, pre-season in as well. And things, there was a lot of maybe distractions and things happening that we just didn't need, really, I think. And obviously losing against Wexford obviously wasn't a good start to the year in terms of championship. And that probably set us back a small bit as well. Like, but I said, the things were right there, but the injuries did kill us. We never got the whole team together. Like, during the league, there could have been nine of us in the stand watching the game. You know, I remember going watching Wexford against Kilkenny in Nolan Park, and I say there's about nine of us there. Like, that's unheard of, really. Like, you know, so I think we would probably look at those injuries, see why did they happen, maybe, and try and not let that happen in 2018.
We hear so often from great teams, great players, great coaches, that to get that culture of success and winning, it's so difficult. It doesn't always click. It takes so long, but it can go like a flick of a switch. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is you don't sense that culture has changed within Kilkenny, that it is simply down to just a period of transition. Yeah. Or have there been things over the last couple of years that have changed?
No, I think things are still there. I think the right stuff is there. Like, you know, the right mentality is there. My mentality hasn't changed personally, I suppose. I can only speak for myself. I still go out in games with that same mentality, that same kind of resilience. And, you know, that's true. Probably Brian's probably coaching and managing, like, you know, and Mick Dempsey and the management team, James and Derek. So that hasn't gone away. And that's important, I think. And that's why I felt as in, look, we have a great platform here. We have a few new players coming. You know, they may not be, like, you know, young all-stars or anything like that, like, but if they're committed, you know, we have a good bunch of players that got to 21 All-Ireland last year in 2017, so a good bunch of them will be coming on to the senior panel, and, you know, hopefully we'll try and develop those players. And there is a period of transition, without doubt. Every team goes through that. You can't stay at the top forever, and it's important that, you know, you give that time and not to be trying to push that either.
There does seem to be a lot of similarities between this current Dublin football side and that great Kilkenny team that you've been a part of, in that from the outside we don't know a huge amount, and the mystery just adds to the mystique almost of what you're doing. Maybe that has slightly changed in Kilkenny over the last couple of years, because there have been so many retirements, and we've had a book from Shefflin and from Tyrrell, we've Tommy Walsh on the radio, we've an awful lot of Kilkenny pundits out there as well at the moment. Did that change the dynamic within the squad?
I suppose Jackie's book came out, it was late 2017, so the whole championship season was over, so that really had no effect on the team. There has been a lot of players, obviously, that have retired over the years, and huge players, to be honest, you know, who've been stalwarts and warriors of the game, and, you know, who could have 6-7 All-Stars and you know, 6-7, 8-9 All-Ireland medals. So great men that we lost, like, you know, but we, you know, when them lads went, we won 2 All-Irelands, we won one in 14, we won one in 15. And we got to All-Ireland 16, you know. So last year obviously was a bad year, but I do think that it was just there was a lot to do with that, was the injuries we actually had, and we never actually got a time together for the whole team to actually click. And even for one of the training sessions, I recall, maybe it was a few weeks before the Wexford game, I think it was the first time actually most of us were ready for a training session up in Carron House, and I was in the warm-up. Next thing, I kind of aggravated me good Achilles, just for whatever reason, and I was like, oh, I was feeling so good about this training session, feeling so well. The last few weeks has gone really, really good for me. Played against James Stevens in a league game, went well, and you know, I was like, hopefully it'd kick on from here. Next thing, a small setback again, and then I was back to, you know, resting it maybe and trying to build that up again. So that was frustrating, I think, throughout the whole year in terms of those disappointments. But just going back to what you're saying about some of the players, maybe lads in the media and stuff, you know, I think most of them are pretty, you know, pretty careful in terms of what they're saying, because it can have an effect on the team. You know, if you're saying something controversial about another team, like, you know, people still associate those players with the Kilkenny team, you know, and especially in the last year or two. So for me, you have to be very, very careful, and I think it does have an effect. And, you know, if you are saying something out of line, I think, you know, like that's not right. It's not right for Kilkenny people, it's not right for those players in particular, to be honest, that team, because you are there, you've gone, so, you know, don't be having any implications to that team.
It's interesting there, the way you talk about Brian Cody, and obviously, like, so much love and respect for what he's done for Kilkenny hurling, and like, we've got little bits of insight into him over the last while, but quite often I think the feeling around Cody is that it was a very simple message. Like, you watch some of the coaching videos when he's talking to kids, and it's get out in front of your man, that first and foremost, get out in front of your man. But the way you're talking there about constantly with a new message, constantly changing things ever so slightly, but still that ability to get you to run through walls from, what's been the big change you've noticed in the 10, 11 years under Cody?
I think, yeah, he's always probably adapted, you know, and it could be subtle changes, and very, very small. But for me, he always knew what you were thinking. You know, as a team, he would have known what you were thinking, in terms of maybe with the complacency could have maybe crept in, or you could have been going through the motions for maybe 2 or 3 weeks without you even knowing it. And then he might, you know, might say it and actually bring in the players and say, look, you know, the atmosphere is not great, you know, there's not a good feeling here. Maybe he might pull out an example of something, and he might say, look, you know, wouldn't mention a name, and we're all thinking in, oh, he's on about me here now, maybe. And he had that, you know, he had that, like, that's really a way good at communicating and actually bringing a team together and putting responsibility on everyone and not pulling out on players. So I think that's very, very important, a very good strategy to use. And that's probably one strong element. And again, look, he's a very, very strong speaker. I don't know if you ever done any of his talks or anything on leadership, right? knows bits and pieces on management. I haven't myself now, but you know, he talks very well, he communicates very, very well, and I suppose he's 6 foot four odd, you know, deep voice maybe as well, like, you know, I'd hear him shouting, you know, when I'm in midfield on the sideline, you know, and again, he might shout, sometimes I might hear my name being shouted, Fenno, and you barely get the end of it, you know, because Croke Park obviously is so big and so noisy, and I probably look across and he just give you an expression and you know it's time to go here now, it's time to, you know, to put a foot down or whatever, and it's not a negative rant, like, again, right. It's just driving on, just drive on, get going again, and he was a great driver, great motivator, I suppose, for the team. For everyone, I think, you know, and it gives you the confidence before a game. Like, so if he picks you, he's backing you, and that's really important. He's not doubting you or anything like that, and whatever you do, you do, and that's it, and he gives you the opportunity.
Yeah, you've been involved in a coaching partnership with Anthony Cunningham over the last couple of years. When you're talking to coaches at club level, or I don't know if you've been involved at inter-county level, obviously Anthony's back now in with Dublin, but when you're talking to coaches, the message between the personality and getting the right word out and a strong focus on tactics, how do you get that balance? Where do you see that balance?
Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, even tactics, you know, leave that aside for a second. I think it's the message. I think it's the words you use, really important. And again, maybe not talking too much as coaches. I suppose people think that you have to talk to look like you know what you're talking about. So if I talk more, they'll probably think I'm intelligent, you know, and that's not the case. Just keeping the message as simple as possible is really, really, really important.
Is that Cody? Sorry. Was that the key for Cody, that clarity of message?
I think just how he speaks, he's clear, very, very good with his words, I suppose, that he uses. Again, I would have said years ago, if he can present at anything, you know, you can go anywhere in life, to be honest. You know, once you have that confidence and you actually you're able to talk, and I think Brian, again, he has he has everything to back it up, like, but he's well able to speak, and I think, yeah, just the words, I suppose, are... that are very meaning, I suppose, and, you know, it's not a rant. I've rarely ever heard him go on a rant, to be honest, you know, and I've had loads of managers over the years, even myself, if I was doing an interview, sometimes I felt myself going on a rant. You rarely ever see him going on a rant, and that's important, because that's obviously you lose the connection from the players. So he always has that connection, I think, and always holds their attention. And again, what is it? Is it his voice? Is it the words? Is it maybe his expression? You know, I can't put my finger exactly on it. And if I did, I wouldn't be telling you about it, to be honest. I'd keep it myself. But, you know, people ask what's the secret to Brian Cody, you know, and just he does keep things simple, and he's a big motivator, a great speaker. And look, yeah, he loves the whole challenge of big games, and he drives players on, I suppose, and instills confidence in them.
The question that probably Cody faced more often than Annie was, well, like, what's the secret? And, you know, he would say, well, it's hard work, simple as that. Like, you're in a position, you had such an interest in the coaching side of the game. At what stage of your career did you start looking at that of, well, what is it that we have in Kilkenny that I could bring to other places?
Yeah, I'd say the last maybe 4 years, maybe, yeah, when I've, you know, started getting maybe a bit more of a coaching kind of an interest and a bit of a passion, I suppose. Last 2 years in particular, I found it difficult to switch off from that coaching kind of perspective and reading books on coaching, because I was still a player. And again, you got to keep that player mode on, yeah. And you have to look after yourself first and foremost.
What are you reading?
I was reading Conscious Coaching there over on my honeymoon, and I was reading Lancaster's, I think it was a bibliography on him and stuff. And I really like Lancaster. I like him, to be honest. I like his mind frame, and I would have read something on him maybe 2 years previous, and again it just triggered me. It's just what he had, and Conscious Coaching, again, I didn't think I'd like him much. I think it's Brett Bartholomew, his name is, an S&C fella, but he's some nice stuff in there too, really nice stuff. And again, there's no point reading this stuff because you forget about it in a week or two. You got to write it down, because in that moment you would have thought of something, and that's what I'm trying to do lately, you know, trying to write down things and keep kind of maybe a little diary in terms of those little antidotes that mean a lot. So that's good. But going back to that, yeah, so I tried to have to switch off to be a player, because I have a passion for coaching and all that. So I found that kind of difficult. But the secret to Kilkenny's success over the years, from what I feel, it was the competition. And I think maybe Dublin have that as well. You know, without a doubt, we had a huge panel of players, you know, a lot of talent there. And I think if you focus on the competition about winning your place, you know, the game tends to look after itself, you know, but look, because if you're not playing well, you know there's someone going to come in there quite quickly, so you're going to play to the 70 minutes, you're not going to give anyone else a chance to try and get into your position. So I found that was a huge advantage that we had. But again, you need the right people at the top to give that message and to keep everyone, you know, in the right area. And if one player gets upset about something, you don't want him causing problems from other players, so you got to manage all that. So Jim Gavin, you know, he's got a lot of big personalities in that Dublin team, and I wonder myself, how does he manage it? And I would love to be in that area too and actually see that environment and what's happening. But he seems to be managing it quite well. He's not, his young players coming through. And for me, it's that competition. And he's dropping players and he's, you know, he's dropping some big names and he might even bring him on in the game. And, you know, if that was me, I might be upset about it. But he has that kind of balance. His communication must be quite good and keeps everyone on their toes, I suppose. So,
yeah. Have you been in with other camps?
I haven't been in other camps as such, really. I haven't, I suppose everyone would like to be in the Kilkenny camp, which obviously gives me an advantage, but I'd love to get in with Leinster. I was only saying lately to actually Brian that I'd love to actually get up at Leinster for maybe a few days and see what goes on in the rugby environment. I've never witnessed really a rugby a dressing room or maybe what way they train that. And I would love to be maybe training a team on a daily basis, you know, in that environment of a professional setup, because, you know, for me, I love developing players. I love maybe seeing what they do and trying to tweak them in terms of improvements or maybe, you know, their strengths and maybe their psychological side of things, their outlook. Maybe they're looking at things from a wrong angle, because something small like that, if you just twist that a certain way, you can unlock potential in a player, I think. And that's why I love the psychological element of it. I haven't got a qualification in it, but I'm reading and I'm trying to read more, and obviously from my practical experience and from my own experience, that can all help too.
The list of names for when Brian Cody eventually goes, and could be 5 years away at least at this stage, God knows, and we've seen Eddie Brennan getting involved in the underage setup. There's a lot of great hurlers in Kilkenny who are moving into some sort of coaching and management. Like, just listening to you talk, it sounds as though the dream, the aim is to put yourself in a position when the job does come up that you're in the frame.
Yeah, well, I managing Ballyhale or Kilkenny, like, to be honest, neither of them actually are crying out to me. I'd love to just manage, you know, and coach whatever team it might be, like, you know. So I'd be very, like, and that's down the line, to be honest. I'm doing a PhD in leadership and coaching, so I'm building towards that, to be honest. And again, would I be good or not? I don't know. Maybe I might be any good at it. I might do it for a year. I'm like, God, I was terrible at that, and then just move on to something else. But
That have to be in Gaelic games then? Like, you're talking about going in it, because I get, like, technically Gaelic games is an amateur sport. This is your profession, leadership, coaching, that maybe you do need to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I'd love to see a rugby set up and see what I like it maybe. And again, I've no rugby experience. I never played rugby, so that does, you know, it would make it easier if I did play it, I suppose, understand the game and that. But at the same time, in terms of psychological side of things, you probably don't need to be a player to try and help.
You're used to that elite setup.
Yeah, exactly. Used to it. And again, a lot of values that we have from the GAA, like, you know, rugby teams would love that, I think, because again, from an amateur side of things, not getting paid and all that kind of stuff, I think they appreciate it. And even over across the water in the UK, I was talking to one of the S&C coaches in Sunderland, and again, he was saying he'd love to bring someone over and have a talk about the values of a GAA player and what you do and the commitments. And he'd say, like, you know, you give these lads a fair fright, you know, or a fair kick in terms of what they get, like, you know. So I think we have, and we've played at the elite level, even though it's an amateur game, it's played at a professional level without doubt in terms of the commitment and the intensity and the level and all that, like, and the fitness levels. So I don't know, to be honest. I would love to see myself in an environment like that, where I'm actually walking into a sports ground, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning and dealing with players on a daily basis. I would love it, but is it possible? Maybe not, I don't know.
A couple of things before we let you go. That conversation, when it did happen then with Brian Cody about retirement after Christmas, like, I know Taggy Fogarty wished he got the hug or something at the end of it. How did that conversation go?
Yeah, I think maybe it was David Herity was looking for a hug or something, maybe, or a cry or something. Yeah, but it was grand. No, we ended it fine. And, you know, as I said, I've great respect for Brian, and he's shown great loyalty to me over the years and stuff, and great confidence in that. So, and I probably excelled underneath him, being honest about it, in terms of how he probably managed me. So I've just a debt of gratitude to him, I suppose. But yeah, no, like I said, we're not, like, we're cousins. I think he's third cousin or something, but we're not close in family at all. I'd be very close to Mick Dempsey now on the S&C side of things. Right. Like, Mick would have worked an awful lot with me now in terms of my rehab and that. So, you know, I've no doubt I'll be meeting Mick regularly enough, I'd say, over the next coming months, and that, just catching up on things, because he's an interest in S&C, I'm an interest in S&C anyway, and we like kind of maybe, you know, hitting ideas off each other maybe and thinking about different things. So and definitely I might even catch up with Brian again. He probably likes to keep to himself in some shape or form, but again, he's smart enough, he likes to see other views and that, and seeing, you know, how someone else maybe looks at something. And I'll be keeping an eye on these league games too, like, because I still have a massive interest in the players, and again, emotionally I'm still kind of attached to thing in some shape or form. I think
could that be a potential issue over the next couple of years? Like, you're talking about getting involved, getting experience. Is that why you're thinking, like, getting in to look at Leinster, going to Sunderland, looking there, that actually, if, say, I don't know if it's possibility of going in with Anthony Cunningham and doing some work with the Dublin hurlers, would you see a maybe a conflict there for you personally over the next couple of years?
Yeah, well, if I did that right now, that'd be a huge conflict, all right. But I wouldn't be doing that like that in a minute. But as I said, look, I'm very much so an open book, very much so to looking at, you know, I think you can learn from different sports as well. And I met Billy Welsh before Christmas there for a chat as well. He was home from America, and again, I'm very eager to get talking to these people who have coached at the top, and it's just to see, you know, is there something else going on there that I'm not aware of, or how they deal with things, because, you know, you can never stop learning. And if you think like, oh, I have it all sorted now, like, you know, I've it all cracked, that's when you have a problem. So you know, when I start doing more of my PhD and start meeting more people from different backgrounds, and in GAA and football as well, and hopefully rugby, and get a nice, chunk of, you know, information there from different backgrounds, and kind of bring it all together. And that bit of practical experience is key, to be honest. I do need to do a bit of coaching, without a doubt, but for the minute, I am probably caught up in my PhD and doing some stuff at Pep Talk with the leadership side of things as well, with corporate companies, and obviously lecturing as well. So I'm fairly snowed under at the minute.
Yeah, I was listening back to one of the last interviews you maybe did with Off the Ball, maybe 3 years ago, and you were talking at the time, I think it was your ankles you were having some problem with. Obviously, you had well-publicized issues with your back. You had the ACL injury as well. How is the body? Like, you're going back in with Ballyhale, which is it's not Junior B hurling. You're going to be going back playing. You're probably starting every year thinking we can win an All-Ireland title.
Yeah, I suppose obviously you're always thinking you can bring home silverware without a doubt. So yeah, the body is okay. It needs rehab, rehabilitation. I need to do work on it. I haven't gone to gym in about maybe 7-8 weeks. I'm kind of feeling guilty about it at this stage now. So I need to get back in and get going again. And once you're in that mind of frame, yeah, it's good. You know, you're feeling.
You deserve to break.
Yeah, it's a good thing to be fair as well, because I haven't had that break ever, I'd say. And it's good just to maybe switch off as well from it, like, you know, because I'm constantly switched on. And, you know, even on my honeymoon, I was still switched on. Maybe I should be doing a gym session here or there. And then I kind of made a decision over there on the latter half of the honeymoon, I kind of was able to, like, just leave it off, you know, relax, enjoy these few days, don't be thinking about the next training session, the next game, or whatever. So mentally, it's been a great switch off since I've been retired, and obviously I'm focusing my attention to other areas of stuff that I'm passionate about. So yeah, the body is okay. It needs work. The Achilles, the knee, the back and stuff need to be maintained, need to be watched. I won't have the same medical support as I had with Kilkenny, which is a big thing, but hopefully the intensity won't be as big, and hopefully it's more of a gradual build-up. So that's what it'll be. That's the way I foresee it. Yeah. Will it go that way or not? I don't know.
You're here with Pep Talk. You're wearing the Pep Talk t-shirt, and it just strikes me that, like, that conversation you had, I don't know if it was Coppers or wherever it was with that Dublin footballer late at night, it was almost the perfect pep talk at the right time, because it certainly sounds as though, like, having that conversation with Brian Cody, and again, listening to the Kilkenny players, maybe people were waiting for Brian Cody to come to them on the retirement and that he would be giving them all the plaudits. But actually, to make that call, to sit down, to say to him, listen, you've done an incredible thing. Don't go. You've still more to give. Like, that's an important conversation for you to have had.
Yeah, and look, as I said, when I woke up the next morning, I looked at my phone, I was like, Jesus. I was like, and again, I didn't know what position I was in terms of me as after having a knee operation on my knee in terms of cartilage, like, you know, and obviously the Achilles was still rehabbing that, so I didn't know what way, and I probably felt guilty, like, am I asking him to stay on? I wasn't even asking him, I just kind of said, basically, what we have is good, it's special, you know, other counties are seeing that and they appreciate it and trying to replicate it, and, you know, and I know myself what's there is good, and that hasn't changed since I've been there over 12 years, and it's not getting old, what Brian was saying, it's still new, it's still fresh, and I just felt that it needs to be said, and that was it. So I wasn't saying you should come back next year, because again, same with him at retirements, he has to come back 100% committed to what he wants to do, like, and that's the, I suppose, the stance I took on it, or the angle I took on it. But yeah, it was a funny one, all right, you know, in terms of meeting him, just, and even not talking about myself in terms of what I'm doing, because I was still in no man's land. I just knew the club was coming up and I needed to hit that ground running, hopefully go well in it, and maybe play some league game next year, like, that was the plan, like. But unfortunately, the club went pear-shaped.
It's a good sign for Kilkenny hurler when you've had a few drinks late at night that the person you're texting is Brian Cody.
Yeah, cheers.
Is that the first time that happened?
No, it was. It was, you know, definitely.
Just said, don't you ever text me again at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm hoping it wasn't that late now, but anyway, a delayed message maybe, a bad reception maybe somewhere.
Make best of luck with everything.
Thanks very much.
Off the Ball.
On News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.